Welcome to our service for the seventh Sunday of Easter, sometimes called the Sunday after Ascension Day. Our theme today is spiritual warfare, conflict in the Christian life and how we deal with it. Appropriately enough, we begin with the hymn which was the traditional anthem of the Boys' Brigade. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life?
Strong tides lift and the cables strain. Will your anchor drift or will it firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Will your anchor of fear when the breakers roar and the reef is near, while the surges rage and the wild winds blow? Shall your angry waves in your bark overflow? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Will your anchor fall in the floods of death, where the waters cold chill your latest breath? On the rising tide you can never fail, while your anchor holds within the veil. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Will your eyes behold through the morning light the city of gold and the harbour bright? Will your anchor safe by the heavenly shore, when the storms are past forevermore? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love.
Our time of penitence begins with the Easter Kyries. Lord Jesus, you raise the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you bring pardon and peace to the sinner. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you give light to those in darkness. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the Sunday after Ascension. O God, the King of Glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Saviour Christ is gone before, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
Darlleniad o bennod cyntaf Actau'r Apostolion. Esgyniad Iesu. Felly wedi iddyn ddod ynghyd fe ofynasant iddo, Arglwydd, ai dyma'r adeg o rwy ti am adfer y deyrnas i Israel? A dywedodd yntau wrthynt, nid ych chi sydd i wybod amseroedd neu brydiau. Y mae'r tad wedi gosod y rhain o fewn ei awdurdod ef ei hun. Ond fe dderbyniwch nerth wedi i'r ysbryd glân ddod arnoch a byddwch yn dystion i mi yn Jerusalem ac yn holl Judea a Samaria a hyd eithaf y ddaear. Wedi ddod ddweud hyn, a hwythau'n edrych fe ddyrchafwyd, a chipiodd cwmwl ef o'i golwg, a fel yr oeddent yn syllu tu ar nef ac yntau'n mynd, dyma ddau ŵr yn sefyll yn ei hymyl mewn dillad gwyn, ac meddai rhain, wir Galilea, pam rydych yn sefyll yn edrych tu ar nef? Yr Iesu hwn sydd wedi ei gymryd i fyny oddi wrth i chi'r nef, bydd yn dod yn yr un modd ag y gwelswch ef yn mynd i'r nef. Yna dychwelasant i Jerusalem o'r mynydd a elwyr o lewydd, sydd yn agos i Jerusalem daeth saboth oddi yno. A wedi cyrraedd aethant i fyny i'r oriwch ystafell, lle roeddent yn aros. Pedr ac Iwan ac Iago ac Andreas, Philip a Thomas, Bartholomeus a Matthew a Iago, fab Alfeis, a Seimon y Zelat, a Judas, fab Iago. Oedd y rhain oll yn dyfalbarhau yn unfrwd mewn gweddi, ynghyd â rhai gwragedd, a Mair, mam Iesu, a chydau frodyr. A reading from the first letter of Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary the devil prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen.
Give us, we'll
In our second reading today, Peter writes, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." This first epistle of Peter has been called the Charter of Christian Suffering. It's clearly written at a time when there was an organized persecution of Christians, probably in different places across the empire. The writer wants to encourage the people who are going through it. He wants to encourage them, above all, to stand fast and to be faithful for their own sakes. And the first thing he says to encourage them is what they are going through is nothing strange. Do not be surprised at this fiery ordeal, as if something strange were happening to you. There are two kinds of reasons for looking at things that way, and we have to be careful to consider both of them. Some are particular to the time of the New Testament, but some apply for all time, and we need to apply them in our own lives. First, then, Peter's readers should not think that persecution is something strange, because it was happening at different times to Christians all over the Roman Empire. It was, of course, a symptom of the extraordinary success of the Christian mission in those early years. We've just bought a new lawnmower. It's the first battery-operated one we've had, but as all mowers now seem to, it does have wheels. It doesn't hover. But do you remember those advertisements from when hover mowers first came in, from the panicked competitors of Flymo? The advertisements that said, "It's a lot less bother than a hover." And of course, Flymo's delighted advertisements in response. If we weren't so good, they wouldn't be so bothered about us. It's exactly the same with the success of the early Christian mission. Here was a movement that began in Judea, a remote corner of the empire, with 11 frightened men in an upper room. Why on earth should the Roman state, which ruled over an empire from the English Channel to the Nile Delta and beyond, be so bothered about them as to persecute them with such determined violence? It was first because the message was so joyfully and widely received. And secondly, because in defiance of persecution, the Christians simply refused to keep quiet. And it was that defiance that alarmed the Romans most of all. So it wasn't strange that the audience to this epistle were experiencing persecution, because it was happening everywhere. But the writer also wants to point to a second reason, and this is one that applies to Christians in every time and place. There is an irreconcilable tension between the way of Jesus Christ and the way of the world. Opposition to the Christian gospel is not just political or organizational, it is spiritual. Your enemy, the devil, like a roaring lion, is prowling round seeking whom he may devour, he writes. It's an arresting image of the devil when you think about it, written at a time when there was the prospect of being thrown to real lions in the Roman world. It's almost certain that Peter, Paul and the others who were put to death by Nero were not put to death by being thrown to lions. That punishment did exist in Rome, but probably a little later. However, staged fights between lions and armed professional fighters were certainly already happening, a bit like bullfights. And Peter may well have seen real lions prowling around the Colosseum, seeking whom they might devour. But it isn't physical lions that the Christians need to be afraid of. Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body and hell." And that is a word not just for Peter's time, but for all time. We are called, like Christians in every time and place, to be vigilant warriors, standing against the evil one in a battle which is eternal, in a spiritual warfare. Quite a lot of nonsense is talked about spiritual warfare in various Christian traditions. On the liberal wing, there has arisen an aversion to any reference to the Christian life as a battle. But we are always battling against our baser instincts, our sinfulness and selfishness. How often should I forgive the person who sins against me, asks this same Peter, 7 times? I tell you 70 times 7, replies Jesus. And all I can tell you is that if you don't find that a struggle, you're an awful lot better person than I am, and indeed than most of us are. Meanwhile, on the other side, in the charismatic tradition, there's been a tendency to find demons under every bush and to treat some of the ordinary difficulties of life, which every individual and organisation experiences, as some kind of spiritual attack against an individual Christian or the Christian church. In a proper understanding, though, there are some simple principles underlying the spiritual warfare which all Christians are called to practice. Paul writes, "Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The most important word in that passage is the very first one, stand. I may have told you before that there's an episode of the drama Sharp set in the Napoleonic Wars, where Sharp has been training a group of new recruits, especially in the art of firing and reloading their muskets as quickly as possible. He gets them to a rate of 3 shots a minute. As the enemy approaches, he says to them, "When you see them coming over the hill, all you have to do is stand and fire 3 rounds a minute and you'll win. Now we know you can fire 3 rounds a minute, but can you stand? Can we stand when the world points one way and the way of truth points the other? Can we stand when our selfish hearts lean in one direction, but the way of righteousness is the other? Can we stand and proclaim the gospel of peace when the world tells us to keep quiet? Can we stand fast in our faith when the flaming arrows of temptation threaten? Will we be blown about by every wind of doctrine, or can we stand fast on the word of God?" 9 times out of 10 in the Christian life, we know the thing we ought to do. All that is required of us is that we stand. The equipment, Paul suggests, is provided. Those who have come to Christ are protected by the helmet of salvation and the shield of their faith, and armed for defence with the word of truth. Perhaps the most wonderful thing about them, though, is that they do not go out into the world as aggressive warriors. Their feet are clad somehow with the gospel of peace. It's an extraordinary image, that last one, until you remember those wonderful Old Testament scriptures about the feet of the preacher. "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings." My first boss, Ron Clark, had a very high view of preaching ministry. "Of who else," he used to say to me, "of who else but preachers does it say that their feet are beautiful?" The shoes of the gospel of peace are perhaps like the blue helmets that the UN peacekeepers wear in trouble spots around the world. They're still soldiers, but their mission, wherever they can, is to keep the fragile, fallible human peace which the combatants have agreed on. We too are soldiers, but our mission is to be not just keepers, but makers of a perfect peace, fellow peacemakers with the Lord himself, as we share the gospel message that once for all in the life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to God, and humanity has been placed for all time at peace with its Maker. Glory to God in the highest, sing the angels, and peace to people on earth. Amen. Stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you. Search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all a song in itself is not what you've required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. En ta dyrhynoedyn yn efoedd, sancteiddiad y enw, deled y dernas gwnela dy'r wychlis, megis yn y nef fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyron i heddiw ein bara benyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau o'n ninnau ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni i brofedigaeth, Eithy gwared ni rhag drwg, can i sedd o ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our intercessions today are led by Anthea.
On this Sunday after Ascension Day, we will use the words from the following hymn as our response. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. Lord, we need the message of ascension in our church. Sometimes we get very small-minded. We are upset if things are not done the way we like. We are easily discouraged by failure or small numbers. And sometimes our vision is as low as newly cut grass. Give us confidence not in our church, but in your church. Not in our faith, but in your gospel. Not in our success, but in your ascension. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess him, King of glory now. Lord, we need the message of ascension in our world. As the conflicts in Ukraine and the Sudan continue with little hope of a peaceful resolution, and as the resulting increases in food and energy costs impact everyone, but especially the poor. As once-in-a-lifetime weather events become more common, causing death and destruction on every continent, we look in confidence to your gospel, for it tells us of an ascended Lord, an invincible kingdom, of a God who will with certainty reconcile all things to himself. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. Lord, we need the message of ascension in our nation. Our culture is tired. Tired of political systems which promise but do not deliver. Tired of instant fun that feels good but does not satisfy. Tired of inventing new values that collapse at the first touch. Tired of a religion that promises bread but gives a stone. Put into our hearts an irresistible confidence that all is not as it seems, that love, truth, and integrity are never defeated, that the kingdoms of this world will indeed become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. Lord, we need the message of ascension in our own hearts. Too easily our God is so small, we lift up our eyes to the hills instead of the high mountains. Too easily we fail to expect you to be present in our worship, to speak in our hearts, or to change anything in response to our prayers. Too easily we remember our weakness and forget your strange and beautiful strength. Take us back to the deep truth of a crucified, risen, and ascended Lord, so that we may once again taste the wonder and certainty of his love. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. Shouts of joy, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And you'll go out with joy. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and you'll go out with joy.
May the love of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.